truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. I am your host, as always, James C. Turner, Jr. Today I have with me a very special guest and a childhood friend of mine, Tom Lasby, and his brother Jim from the band Wildcard Leader. Tom, Jim, it's been a while, guys. How are you?
Great.
Great. Great to hear from you. It's been ages, Tom. So how did you get into music, man, and who are your main influences?
Oh, getting into it. I like grow up with it. Like my grandma plays the organ and shit at church. Basically just my dad got me a bunch of Tom Petty records and Neil Young records when I was a kid. And then just at like 12, I'm like, I want to do that. And just started fucking with a very broken high action guitar and then figured it out from there. And then, it's weird because I think it's in a way kept me from being like an otherwise productive person in a traditional sense, but I don't want to do anything else. So
now, did you guys kind of start at the same time, or did he see you playing and kind of want to follow after you?
For me, it was, I was an athlete for, you know, I played golf and I played shit like that. And then about 18, my golf season ended, and I started just randomly. I'm like, I'll try fucking with his guitar. So he'd go to work. I would take all his stuff, and, you know, I was hiding it from him. So he'd go to work for, I knew the hours he was at work. So I'd sit there and practice for about, it was usually like 5 hours at a time straight up. And then basically it just morphed into this obsession where I was taking all of his stuff constantly, and then that morphed into me getting my own stuff. And then here we are, and I have done nothing but practice for many years, and it's all a result of him having the stuff. But yeah, I spent a lot of hours just hiding from him so I could use his stuff without him kicking my ass. And then it got me good at stuff though. So yeah, so I still have yet to find my own good guitar because his exists. So.
Well, the funniest was like, it was like New Year's Eve, probably like 7 years ago. Something like that, and he just like, everyone was drunk and we're all hanging out, and like me and, you know, you remember Detmer, me and Detmer were playing guitars, yeah, and stuff, and he just suddenly he comes walking downstairs and starts like playing the shit out of a guitar relative to what I thought he was able to do. And I was like just really drunk, and I'm like, that can't be him playing, what the fuck is that, like that's weird, this is a weird thing. And then I could actually do it, and then so it took like another like couple years before we started collaborating and stuff. But yeah,
now did you always want to sing, or did you just strictly set out to play guitar at
oh
first?
No, I can't. So singing was just something that just came as a product of writing. Like my thing for a long time was I would sit there and just like religiously learn Leonard Skinner riffs and just like sit and try and like master all that stuff. And then I was like the lead guitar player in a couple bands in high school, and they were terrible. And they were like, you know, like the high school kids are like, oh yeah, we should like make the Red Hot Chili Peppers if Ozzy Osbourne was the front man and we're 14. And it's like, it never works. And it's, I did a couple of those bands, and I finally realized, I'm like, I'm going to try singing myself. So I signed up a few of my friends for the high school rock off without telling them I had signed them up. One being Detmer, and he didn't know how to play a bass, and I was like, hey, can you learn bass in a week? And he's like, maybe, I don't know. I'm like, okay, because we're gonna do that thing at the House of Blues. And then the drummer was like, he played the band drums, but he had a set, but he didn't play them. I'm like, can you figure out how to play those in like a week? And he was like, I don't think so. I'm like, well, we're gonna do it. So that was the first time I sang in front of people, and I didn't really have any way to, like, from there it just kind of, you find your own voice. So
now the name of the band is Wildcard Leader, and for those of us that know that you're a big Indians fan, so did that have any relation to the name choice, or how did that come about?
A long time ago, I had a my right when around like my high school band was ending, I just like came up with a few band names, and one of them was just throwing stuff out there to see if like if anything came up. One was called, I think it was called Wildcard Leaders, that I maybe tried to do one thing with, left it there for years, didn't touch it, and then and it was because at the time the Indians were kind of fluctuating in the wild card before they, I think it was before they added the second wild card, and yeah, so we're doing that, and then we need to come up with a name for this, and I was like, I mean, it took us forever to figure something out, and then I'm like, what about this? Then he's like, no, get rid of the S and we've got it. And I was like, all right, so it's like a sports reference, it's also easy to find on the internet, you get a bunch of statistics and you get a bunch of our stuff, that's about it. So.
It's a real catchy name, and you're right, I haven't forgot it, I've seen it once and it's yeah. in my head.
A lot of jokes, plenty of jokes. More than that, it works. They put us down as, oh god, we played a I think it was Ingenuity Fest or something like a year or two ago, and they played everyone got their name printed for the schedule, but somebody must have went to OU because they put us down as Bobcat Leader, which is the Bobcat Leaders are the like the student guides, like when they do tours and stuff. And so there's the Bobcat Leader program. And I'm like, oh, shit. I guess we're Bobcat. And then someone found out. They scrolled it out real quick, and they fixed it, like, act like nothing happened. Yeah, it was a, it was like a big, yeah, printed sign that was that they
like
clearly paid
big
money
happy
for.
Happy birthday, like.
It was, you know, the ones that are, like.
Banners.
And it was like, yeah. It was, it was a nice sign otherwise, other than the fact that somebody totally fucked up that part. But anyways, yeah.
Nah,
that was good.
I know guitar isn't the only instrument you play. What else do you play, and how hard is it to play multiple instruments at a time live?
Okay, so I'll do my part first, then he can do the other one. I mainly play like guitar, and I play, I mean, I can play a bass, can play other instruments with strings. I've mastered none of them. As soon as I started writing, I probably just like stopped getting proficient at those, and really I'm only proficient at them to the degree that I need to use them. It's not very hard to play at the same time while singing for me, because mainly because usually I try and keep the stuff fairly simple, rhythmic, just like it's just a lot of up and down for me, so I don't really have to do a whole lot. He, on the other hand, can play like a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah, for me, I pretty much, I don't know, I've grown to be sort of obsessed with like picking up, like currently I'm like fucking with this violin over here. I just got it online. I'm like, so yeah, I started with, well, it's a blast for everyone, or for me, but anyone around me until I figured it. It's so basically, I when I started, my grandma bought me this keyboard randomly, and so I was doing guitar stuff, basically kind of following in his footsteps, and I was like, all right, I just want to write and play guitar and then figure all that out, and then I got a keyboard, and it just, that was like 2014, and then that was just, I could put headphones on and nobody had to hear me. I could do it in the middle of the night. Everything I've always done has been in the middle of the night. And then basically that just transformed into just like anything I could pick up and try to learn, I will. And so like, yeah, my goal is definitely not the same as his. I just like to be able to play whatever I can. And like, and I personally don't find it difficult to answer the second part of the question. You know, to do it, to do it on stage. No, to you know, play different things on stage, or to, or you know, at the same time, it's whatever. Though usually I'm not singing, so you know, I mean, I can do it all singing, but
jack of all trades,
a
right?
Jack of
most trades.
I fuck around a lot with trades, yeah. You know.
So what all goes into the songwriting process for you?
Oh, as far as like these songs for this project, I mean, a lot of these are ones that I've just had for years. And so we just sort of had something to go off right away. But for songwriting process, it's not personally, like he's got a different way he writes songs, because he's got a bunch of his own that we don't really play with this, but he's a really good songwriter in his own right. And yeah, I just write like, I'll get like, two lines and be like, okay, and just like a melody will come with those two lines, and then I just kind of flesh out the rest of it. I don't think about it. It's weird. Some people do think about it, and I'm like some of my friends that do it are like, well, they get very meticulous with, they've got like a big riff or something, and then they go like, well, I just need words to like have, because the song needs words, but it's about this guitar solo. And I'm like, well, that's not a song. That's going to sound terrible. The solo might be great, but the other part, like, you should really put some work into that. But it's not too bad. Like, I mean, it's weird. You just do it enough and you do it poorly for a while. I mean, like, the first couple years I wrote anything, it was terrible. And it's important to not release that. Sometimes people just go like, I just came up with an idea and it's out. And it's like, yeah, but like, now everyone thinks you suck when you might be good, but that was like kind of your throwaway. So I always made sure to like not release any of that stuff. But you and then you figure out your way. It's different for everybody. I mean,
Do you think that failure is like a part of that?
Oh yeah, and that's why like open mics are great. So like when I first started writing, I would be like, especially when I was doing my own thing, and I would just like I had a band for like 2 years, it was mine, and then I didn't have anything, so I started doing my own stuff and just doing solo acoustic stuff, which I'd never done before. And there's some really good open mics around here, and I would go up and play there, and some stuff would be like, that has something to it, and it's kind of a confidence builder, and some stuff was like, that sounded like shit, and I need to throw it away. And you just like, but it's cool to be able to test it like that, because you do get a lot of positive feedback from other songwriters, and we have a really good community of that here. It is important. Like, that's the biggest part, I think, of any kind of songwriting. It's like, you can only write so much on your own before you need some kind of validation outside of that, or some kind of just like constructive criticism, or even not constructive criticism. Even if someone's just like, dude, that fucking sucked, and that's the
some
end
kind
of it.
Of feedback.
Yeah, though. It is something. Yeah. I mean, I'll let you talk about it. He writes too, and he's got a different method than I do a little bit. But.
Yeah. So my method is odd. I'll churn out, like, on average, I just will play and, you know, see, and I have a loop pedal and stuff. And if I hit a melody or something, like, a lot of the time I'll just sit there and write. I usually do both at once, though. I will usually write about half to a full song, a few verses and whatnot. But the melody is very, I'll do, like, a lot of riff stuff, like an acoustic riff or a piano riff. And then I'll take a couple months, usually, kind of with a couple songs at a time, going through them, and then just kind of obsessively playing them to the point that it's just stuck in my head. And so I take that approach usually, and then after a couple months, usually I'm like, all right, that's set. And so yeah, like right now, it usually kind of is a layover for me personally, where I'll be writing about two or three things at a time, and then I'll add new stuff in there, but then I won't even get to it till much later. And It's odd for me personally, but it seems to work. So I don't know how to change it. Yeah, mine is not nearly as straightforward as his, or probably a lot of people. It's usually like there's a carryover where it's like, yeah, I started this now, but I'm not gonna be comfortable with it until probably October. There's enough of a backup of stuff that I think it'll be all right.
Hey, they say if it's not broken, don't fix it, right?
I think it's worked out so far. So,
this one's for both of you as well. What is your least and most favorite venues you've played so far?
Oh, around here, great question. This is my coffee, right? Yeah. Okay, before I say that,
you'll know because you'll hit the floor if it's not.
Yeah, there's arsenic in the other one. No, by far, my favorite venue in here in the area is the Beachland. The Beachland Tavern is like the coolest little room. It's just there last night. It's a great place to play. It's fun. They always have really good touring acts coming through. I mean, like you'll see someone there with 10 people, and a year from then they'll be on Jimmy Kimmel. Like it's pretty cool. That place, always love playing the Grog. The Grog Shop's cool. Actually, right at the end of the street here, the Winchester has become like our home venue, because it's about six houses down, and yeah,
a little convenience factor there.
The convenience factor is great. Plus, they really have done a great job of bringing that place back. I mean, it was like initially I was like, how is Tim and Shane gonna turn this around? It was like a dance club or something for like 4 years in between. And they have something there every night, and it's just kind of become like a West Side hub, which we didn't really have before. We didn't really have any kind of, all the good music venues are all on the East Side for the longest time. So of those, I'd say those are top three that we've played here at least. I don't know. Anything to add to that? Yeah, agree on that.
And what was like a least favorite one? Any bad experiences?
Oh, the symposium fucking sucks. the symposium is absolute shit. That one, yeah, I'm sorry if the people from the symposium ever hear this, but it, I mean, I played there, they still owe me like, the thing is they, I don't know, they're like on and off open. So like they shut down and then don't shut down and I don't know what the hell it is. Yeah, they're that place. I mean, I played there in high school and then they still owe me like $30 from there. I never went to go pick it up because it was, the light fixture fell down while we were playing and it like nearly took out like three people who were in the front. And then the sound girl went up and just like threw like three pieces of duct tape back on the light fixture. So it was still sitting there bobbing. And then they're like trying to get us to like sell tickets and trying to do all this stuff. And it was like back when like pay to play was a little more prevalent than it is now. But then we went and did another thing there like 2 years ago. I don't know. One of our good friends somehow got involved with them for like a week before he realized they were a bullshit place. and so we played a thing there and I was like, Jimmy, you're not gonna believe how shitty this venue is. And we got there. It was. Yeah. So that place, I'm sorry if they hear this, but I don't ever want to play there again. Not that they're going to ask us. They mostly have like metal and rap. So whatever.
Do you guys ever do covers and do you guys do like a set list or do you play by like feel the crowd?
So we do set list for, we do plenty of covers. As far as what we do like around here, it's very, we'll do like a whole sets of our songs and we'll drop in a cover or two, or we'll do stuff with like a band or we'll do it with, you know, like that. But then we'll play, sometimes we'll just do like a bar set where, you know, it's just, we sit in the corner of the bar and basically get to dick around for 3 hours, at which point I'll just bring like a Kindle or something and just throw it up on the mic stand so people can ask for whatever they want. And that's kind of the overall goal of it, is like, like as long as it's not like ridiculous or like racist, usually it's usually everything's pretty fair game for those. So we'll usually have like a set list. We hardly rehearse, so that's kind of it's always fun. It's a different set list every time.
How would you say that your music has evolved since you started playing?
I'll start and I'll let him finish. I've had a bunch of my songs were all like, it started off when I started writing songs, they sounded like really shitty Counting Crows songs. Like if the Counting Crows songs were like, if the Counting Crows weren't any good at writing anything and nobody could sing. And then it just kind of evolved more into sort of like half of what it is now. But then when I came back from college and started playing with him again, he really added a bunch of other dynamics to it that are just not, like, I'm super straightforward. I go, like, four chords, sing the song, that's it. Like, I don't, you know, I can put together stuff myself, whatever, but I don't really deal a whole lot with, like, being melodic or throwing, like, weird chord changes in there and stuff. And so he's a lot better. I don't know if you have your side of that story or what, anything. No.
I still know how I put it. I mean, I just think in general, just the dynamic between the two of us, once he came back and we started playing, I think that a lot of the stuff that he didn't put any thought into or put any, just instinctively he was just kind of putting stuff out however it was. And in general, I think just the sound of just the piano and what he's doing, the way it comes together, I think just it happened very naturally. And I think that, I mean, if I'm commenting on his music alone, I think that just brought it to a different level. Just having, I think the dynamic of the two of us personally, I think helped a lot with just, you know, moving that forward as much as we have, at least, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, being brothers and just even having an extra pair of eyes probably helps in the process.
Yeah, and once he came back from college in like 2015, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
I think that there was a, I had spent I'd spent 3 years just listening to his stuff. He'd send me his stuff, and I'd just play over it on with headphones and stuff. So when he finally got back, I think we were kind of – I think it progressively got better and better after that. So
yeah, and there's also, like, a bunch of songs that I was like, these are trash, and I'm getting rid of them. And it was, like, half of our set list now. And then we started playing the – and he was like, no, that song's not trash. We need to play that more. I like playing it. And I was like, yeah, but it's stupid. And he was like, no, it's not. You, like, keep playing it. So, like, I would – yeah, we would have half the songs right now. I mean, I would have written new ones, but they probably wouldn't be as catchy. So that helps.
Have you ever experienced performance anxiety? And what do you do in that moment if you have?
Me, personally, no. I mean, you know, you remember me. I've always just been, like, loud and trying to entertain and whatever. So, like, I don't really get that much. There's times, like, when you play, like, a show and there's just, like, a totally unresponsive crowd where you're like, is this because of me? Did I do something to these people? Why, you know, you can go out there and you can play, like, one of your songs that, like, you think is just, like, a killer song that usually gets people moving a little bit, and there will be people who are just standing there like a fucking Twilight Zone episode, and it's like, you suck. This is, like, so sometimes then you start to get a little self-conscious, but as far as I go, like, that's usually when I'll, like, do something. I mean, fuck, we'll do sort of just bits of comedy occasionally, not like really fleshed out bits, but it usually involves some kind of wacky impression or something. I think like during the last election there was a lot of Ted Cruz.
That's awesome.
He would confuse he would be like the one time we were just randomly, he just goes, people weren't responding very well, and he just goes, like, you know, Tom's got a killer Ted Cruz impression. And I was like, what? And then a few people were kind of good. And I was trying, I don't even remember how it sounded like. It was something like, now in the great state of Texas, me and my wife, Heidi, I remember one time I went and bought 100 cans of chunky soup. And, like, I started doing a lot of that. And it was, and people were creeped out. Like, they were, because Ted Cruz is a fucking creepy guy. And so people were really just, like, creeped out, and I was just kind of going, like, now, I don't know if you know anything about the great state of Texas, but, like, and they just were, yeah, it was weird. It kind of derails things, but whatever. It's that or, what was the other one? I think it dropped, like, a Pinkman impression in there or something, but there was one of them was like, yeah, you guys like this? Yeah, bitch. Like, that kind of, yeah, so that'll work occasionally. But that's usually how, it's very unprofessional to start doing impressions on stage in the middle of a musical set, but.
That's different. That's awesome.
It's only when people are really just, like, not having it, and it's like, all right, you want to be entertained? Like, yeah, so.
It probably entertains yourself a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah, there's a point where, like, it's only been, like, a handful of crap. Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't, like, because it's either that or you go up there and kind of be like, okay, well, that's my next song.
I'll have,
this
depressed.
One's about, this one's like, I felt real bad, like, when my girlfriend left. And I, like, anyways. It's like, it's either
this
that
is
or
a single
that.
About my sad life.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, you can keep it jovial and you can try and get everyone to come with you, or you can do that. But, yeah, you maybe have more to say about that. I don't know.
What was the initial question again?
Just general performance
anxiety.
Oh. Yeah, no, I've always had a weird thing with singing, personally, so it's still uncomfortable for me because I just haven't broken out of that and, like, gone out and done my own stuff enough. It's always him singing, and then I'm in the background. So as far as that goes, I'm a little uneasy sometimes. Other than that, as far as just playing, just being on stage, I don't really experience any of that. Unless I forgot what I have to do, which rarely happens, but there have been a few times where I'm like, shit, what is that song? Because sometimes Tom will just be like, this song that we played once, we're playing that right here, and then I'll be like in the middle of the song trying to remember what it is.
And you guys don't rehearse, right? Isn't that what he said? Not very much.
We don't rehearse as much as people either think we do or we should. People always are like, well, when you're rehearsing, and I'm like, we haven't rehearsed in 9 months. It's like, so
that's
it's
impressive,
it's,
though.
It's fun sometimes, but it's, yeah, that's, like, I play a lot on my own, and I record a lot on my own, so, like, personally, like, I'm in tune usually, but, like, as far as, like, playing together, and then if you haven't rehearsed, sometimes you notice there are things that you'll be like, That could have been
like, here's a new song I haven't shown my brother.
It's happened to him, but most of the songs we've played, that's how they were introduced. Was by him just being like, oh, this one song that you heard this one time, I sent it to you. And I'll be like, I don't remember you sending it to me. And you're like, oh, these are the chords. Sort of. And then all the time I'm like, well, what are the chords? And he's like, oh, something like this. And I'm like, I don't know. And it's like, all right, we're up. Yeah. And then I'll be in the middle, like, looking at his hands, like, trying to, it's always interesting. Once you do that a few times, though, or once you have a couple, like, horrible experiences on stage, like, one time, we went down to this open mic down at the Musica in Akron, and Tom had just gotten this Les Paul, and I was like, I'm going to play that Les Paul if that's cool with you for these three songs. And I got up there, didn't know how to use the amp, and didn't know what the overdrive pedal was. Or really, yeah, no. And so I get up there. The guitar was in the wrong tuning. And I clicked the overdrive, and it was just like, it was like AC/DC, like overdrive. And there was like 10 people there tops in this little quiet venue. And so I was like, started just like trying to play, and it was just literally just noise. There's just noise coming out of the thing. And then I just like did this one thing where the solo comes up, and I started like trying to shred on it. And it was the most unpleasant like set you could have imagined. But once something like that happens, like, and you're like, you kind of just go, all right, it happened. And then it's like, all right, next time moving forward, just don't let that happen again. And then, yeah, it's like it's horrible when you're in it. But once it happens, you just use it as a learning experience. And I'd never have come out and been, like, worried that that will happen again or anything like that, because I figured out, yeah, so I think, so yeah, it's overall, it's not, you know, performance anxiety is not much of a thing for me, I think. I enjoy playing in front of people, too. I think overall anxiety is a thing that I have, but it's not, like, that does not trigger it very much, if I'm being... I'm being truthful. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Should we expect like an album from you guys this year?
Okay, so it's kind of a weird scenario. Actually, like shortly after this podcast, we will be going on a decently long break, but we are recording. So I'm gonna be moving really fucking far away. And he's going to still be here, but we're still going to try and work on stuff. Ideally, he's got a bunch of his stuff that he's going to record and put out, and it's really good. And anyone listening, definitely be on the lookout for that.
We'll make sure to plug that.
Yeah. It hasn't even begun the recording phases yet. We're actually having to figure out we have like most of an album done, mm-hmm. but then we had some equipment issues, and then we got to figure that out, but that will come out eventually. I mean, ideally we can at least get like one or two of those songs out and get them out there, and get, because they're very different than the stuff that we have out there right now. They have like drums and bass and louder guitars and things like that, and it's funny because we'll get booked, like, especially when we start putting the band together. We put the band with the guys we play with currently, unfortunately we only like play with them maybe like once every couple months or something, because most of what we do is very we don't rehearse, we have much time to rehearse with them at all, but we'll do like the stuff we have out right now, where it's like we'll get booked thinking we're like this kind of lighter folk rock thing, and then when we bring the band in, it's like it becomes like if Neil Young was doing Honky Tonk or something. It's like it's loud, it's sloppy, it's very unrehearsed. People generally seem to like it for the most part, but it is very it's very chaotic, and that's happened a couple times. We were definitely booked to be this quiet folk rock thing, and then it's just like everyone's got an electric guitar and we're being extremely loud. yeah. So you know, it just depends. But yeah, something should be coming out relatively soon. It's just a matter of figuring out a few tweaks.
Are there any local bands or just any bands in general that you guys would like to play with or share the stage with?
We've played a few locally. It kind of goes under the radar, but Cleveland has like some really, really amazing songwriters, and we've gotten really lucky to like get to be really good friends with them and be on bills with them and stuff. Yeah, I mean, even just like to name drop a couple friends of ours that are just locally really good. I think everyone probably knows Ray Flanagan at this point. Ray Flanagan just kicks ass in general. Funny motherfucker too. But but yeah, I mean, like, even our friend Mikey Silas has put together a band. We played it with him a few times. They're called Apostle Jones. That has become, I mean, we played with them last summer a few times, and it was just Mikey and his keyboard and, like, a guitar player. And now it's blossomed into this crazy festival-like thing every time they play where, like, it's they've got a girl with a tambourine who's, like, running into the crowd. They've got, like, five people singing. Mikey is, like, on a he's standing on his keyboard, like, hollering and, like, becoming Aretha Franklin. It's insane, and it's amazing. And if those guys are playing a show anywhere near you, definitely I'd check them out. And I'm trying to think else. Who else? What am I blanking on people around here? There's plenty. Cleveland just got a bunch of good stuff, and I would really, just even if you can pretty much go into, like, most open mics and find somebody who's really good. Locally, I mean, like, the reason, you know, a lot of the big reason why I play music is because a guy named Chris Allen, he's been around for a long time, but he's been in a band called Roosevelt. They're really good. He still plays around here. I think his new band's called Falling Stars. They're awesome. We play with Chris a few times. It's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that would be hard to find to somebody like maybe who isn't going to be perusing the live local scene, but we've got a shitload of talent. I don't know if anyone comes to mind for you, Jimmy, or no. Yeah. There's more, but, like, it's big, like, I mean, obviously, like, you know, we'd love to be like, oh yeah, like, let's just, like, go play a show with Jason Isbell or something. But, like, I'm more so about, like, smaller bands that are really trying, because that's where it's at. Like, that's where just, like, the authenticity of that is really cool. So
the community does seem really supportive of each other too.
Oh, they definitely are. They're, yeah, the community is, and the next step is trying to, like, maybe break out of that, where it's, we have a really great community. We're trying to get to the point where we can have, like, people regularly show up to stuff. Yeah, so we have, like, a lot of other musicians going to other musician shows, and that's awesome. And then we have a couple things a year, like the Bright Winter Festival. Like, it's all local, and it's huge, and a ton of people go down there, and it's really good. But then, like, most of the rest of the year, outside of, like, a few summer festivals and stuff, people are just, like, going out and seeing tribute bands and shit. And I'm like, we all know what Journey sounds like. You're just going to see shitty Journey. You're not, like, you don't need to do that. Like, take that money and go, like, to literally any of the venues we have here. Like, look some stuff up. And you'll be really surprised. I mean, like, there are people who thought we've played shows, and they'll come up afterwards and be like, what cover was that song? And I was like, oh, that was our song. And they'll be like, act like they've just, like, they're like, what, you wrote that? I'm like, ours aren't even, like, ours are the surface of it. Like, there's stuff everywhere that, like, is even, like, way better written than anything we could do, or at least that I could do.
It's gotta feel good, though.
It is. It's great, but, like, yeah, it's a little interesting trying to, like, convince that person then to, like, parlay that into a larger thing. It'd be like, all right, now take that inspiration there and, like, run home with your golden
get
ticket.
50
and,
like, your friends.
Yeah, like, just do something. And so that's always tough. But I think that's just, like, across the board with really DIY musicians kind of have that problem.
Any upcoming shows you could promote?
As of now, no.
hear that? There's no reason not to book these guys now.
We're trying. I mean, again, like, I mean, I might only be in Cleveland for another, like, couple weeks, and then we'll try and put it together periodically after that. So, reunion shows. Yeah. Fortunately, we don't rehearse anyway, so it's really easy to just pop something together. Yeah.
Where can, you know, fans, like, reach you guys and find the music at?
Oh, so you can just pretty much Google Wildcard Leader on anywhere. And if you just Google, it'll pop. Well, yeah, if you Google on Google, it'll pop up in all the spots it's at. But it's available everywhere. It's on Spotify, SoundCloud. Trying to think. I mean, like, we went through CD Baby with it, which is cool because they put it on every platform. So you can find us pretty easily. Also, if you want to see our shenanigans, you can find us on Instagram and yeah,
all that good stuff.
Stay up on my Instagram.
Well, now we're going to do something a little bit different. Usually I do a regular outro here, but these guys here got a special treat and going to hear a couple songs here. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do a few. Yeah, we can just cut it right here and then we can go with that. So, yeah, we're going to set up real quick and then we'll be right back on with a few songs.
Perfect.
Right, you just pause this and break it up into two.
Yeah.
All right,
you ready? What do you
want to
do?
You're
going
to kill me?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. This is one that's that will be off of our eventually released thing. What?
Days go changing, days go flying. I stop counting for a while. Slit the moments pass on. Got a vision in my head, playing out what happens next. You're just looking around the room. Sure. Restless eyes can't keep away from my reckless heart to break into. Don't care.
First thing?
What's that?
From the stuff we have recorded?
What? Yeah, but what?
Ah, shit. You have this paused, right?
Yeah.
You want to do it again? Okay. Also, you got to turn that down a little bit.
It is, don't have a trigger reading anymore.
It is, that is like, it's mostly keyboard.
See, that's, I just feel like,
Please don't. All right, ready? Let's go.
Can it make you laugh? Can he draw a smile on your face? Can he make himself a secret that's worth hiding? When you're alone, just stand upright and talk like a man supposed to, as he learned to love you. Changing way you look at me, but I'll be fine if I just get to talk to you tonight. Well, I guess it was a long thank you.
attention. So
did you start recording? Okay.
You animal.
We can cut up this file however you want in there. So this, no big deal.
So
my gain.
If there's anything,
my gain's like seems all right. Seems.
This clip will get trimmed anyways.
That seems fine.
I have like a whole like intro spiel I do and everything. Okay. So we can just cut around whatever we need to. It sounds good though. I'm surprised. Yeah, that little thing.
Oh, these things are great.
It sounds great. Like the SoundCloud, you could use the phone to use a condenser mic, which has better quality in general. Works as fancy power and everything.
Like at Strongsville, they have a green screen room and a studio you can rent out for like an hour at a time. But I mean, like, this sounds just as good as the studio there to me.
The audio quality will probably sound very similar, especially if it's just voice. Like, that's,
I do want to use that green screen room, though. Yeah, I think that'd be fun as hell.
That would, green screens, you can do a lot with that.
But I don't know anyone that's, like, motivated enough to actually do something.
Just like,
people talk like, yeah, I want to do it.
Dick around with a green screen for a while.
Yeah, it comes down to it, though. They're like, oh, you know, man, I can't. I got to let the dog out today. Maybe next time.
I think I could. To just fuck with a green screen?
Nothing. Free. An hour at a time, and if nobody comes after that hour, you can keep going.
Huh.
Dude, I have like 30 skits, like comedy skits written out, fully written out. And
that like have like a fake setting of Paris or something in the background? Or...
How did you know?
Yeah.
Have you been reading my journals?
I don't think so, but...
I'm going to get started here, okay?
All right, you're good.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. You better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.